with the second verse. We will be down to the seventh verse in beginning today. But we're going to start with Revelation chapter 8 and verse 2 and read through that and down through the fourth trump. Revelation 8, verse 2, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all grass, green grass, was burnt up. The second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And a third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you for the day that you have given us. It's such a joy to come and be together with other believers. I thank and praise you that you've given us this family. You've given us this opportunity to come to open your precious word and to learn your precious word. Have us, Father, to be good caretakers of your word, that we not only take it in, but we give it out, that we give out the gospel, and that we talk to other people, the other believers, about your precious word, that they will learn and know more of the truth. Father, we're here in the area of your word, the end, not the end of the world, the end of time as we will know it, the end of this tribulation. And as it comes to a close, and we're coming into the middle of it right now. And Father, as we look at this time, we need to understand that no one has to be there. Everyone could be saved. Everyone could come by faith to you and meet you at the cross of Calvary and be saved. And yet we find that there'll be multitudes that'll walk into the tribulation period while we, as believers, will be raptured out, all that are born again. So please, dear Lord, as we look at this terrible time, show the hearts of the lost that they must come and come soon. And stir the hearts of the saved. We'll be excited about your word and desire to tell all about your word and the coming doom that's coming. And if they kid us and ridicule us, so what? Father, we're here to proclaim your word. Help us to do that. Now speak to our hearts, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. If you remember the opening of the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for the space of a half an hour. What was seen by those in heaven just made him speechless. And then we find these seven angels that stood before God were given seven trumpets. And so each time now that I have read, the first angel sounded was the first trumpet. The second angel sounded was the second trumpet. The third angel that sounded was the third trumpet. The fourth angel that sounded was the fourth trumpet as it was sounded. And different than us hearing the trump, the call for the church, this is a call of judgment. The call for the church is a call of rescue. We're being taken out of this world and into the hands of our Lord. The call of judgment will be nothing but destruction and judgment. And as this justice is brought to light, all those that refuse Jesus will face it. We found that there was a group, this section of Scripture that's above the seventh verse. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense. And he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. There's 144,000. We keep talking about this so that we understand the time scale. 144,000 witnesses upon this earth. And they are going after everyone that'll listen. But really, the call is for the nation of Israel. The regathering of Israel will not be complete until the tribulation period. And upon this time, the rebuilding of the temple will come. That will be a call for all Israel, all Jews to file back to Jerusalem to offer their sacrifices and to do their feasts as they did it in the past. They will be back to do all those things during the tribulation period. But it's 144,000 of Jews, 12,000 from each tribe. They will be out preaching the gospel. And there will be not one of those 144,000 that will pervert the word. Every one of them are going to speak the word correctly. They're going to speak the word with great power and great strength. And there will be multitudes. And the scripture tells us a number that cannot be counted be saved during this time. Do you wonder how many is going to be raptured in relationship to how many stay? If there is a number that cannot be counted, cannot be numbered, that will be saved during this tribulation period, and we know there are multitudes that are not, how few are leaving when the church is raptured? So many of the folks that we know are going to step right into that tribulation period. And they're going to go through the things that we've looked at prior to this, and now we're at a halfway point of the tribulation period, and literally hell is going to be here upon earth as close as hell can be. And the things that are going to take place, it made again the residents of heaven, angels and the saints, made them speechless. They stopped singing, they stopped praising, they stopped doing anything for a half hour when that seventh seal was opened and they saw what was to come that last 3.5 years. The 13th verse of this eighth chapter, even when we get to the last three that are opened, this angel that flew through the midst of the heaven saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to be sounded." So what's to come is more horrible than what's come that we've looked at or going to look at in these four. But Jesus did something. He went before the throne of God with the golden censer full of incense. And there is only one when it speaks of this other angel. We said last week, without question, it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because he is the only one that can go between man and God. He's the mediator. He's the one that can speak, and he was able to go right before the Father with the prayers and offer up prayers for these that are still upon the earth. This isn't prayers for the martyrs. This is prayers for the ones that are still residents here upon earth halfway through that tribulation period that got saved. That's the prayer. And what are the prayers of the saints? We're not told. But we can imagine that it's protect me. Give me power. Give me strength. And it was probably also a prayer for judgment. God, it's time to judge this world. And so the call goes out and the prayers come up, and Jesus goes before the golden altar with the incense, and the prayers are raised up to his Father on behalf of those saints that are still here. But then it doesn't finish there, because now he goes back to the other altar. And we know it's the other altar. It's the brazen altar. Remember, there was no fire at the golden altar. So it doesn't say the brazen altar, but it doesn't have to. Because when we know the Word of God, we can go back into the days of the tabernacle, and we know that the only place that there was fire was at the brazen altar. And he goes out to the brazen altar, which is the altar of judgment. It's the altar where the sins are condemned. And if you know Jesus, it's the altar that sins are forgiven. But this time, Jesus takes this censer and he fills it with fire. And he takes that and he casts it down upon the earth. Judgment upon the lost. So we have Jesus lifting up the saved that are there and judging the lost that are there. And so that's what we have. And then we find the sixth verse, and we saw all that happened here, because the thundering and the lightning and the earthquake when Jesus performed this. And the sixth verse, the seven angels which had the seven trumpets now prepare to sound. And so now that we have reviewed those times, let's begin. The first angel sounded. The first trump was blown, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Sixth verse, they prepared to sound. Now they begin to sound one at a time. The first sounded. Can you imagine this angel stepping into position and blowing that trumpet? And upon the blowing of that trumpet, immediately something begins to take place. Usually at 5:30 every morning, I get the daily weather report. They give just a little bit for that day. I have to wait till 5:45 to get the week. And that way I can kind of line up the week of what we're going to do. Can you imagine the weather report that's going to come the day that this arrives? If you're lost and you don't know Jesus, anyone that you know is lost that don't know Jesus is going to go into this time. You say, well, I don't think it'll come before I die. And that's better. That's better that you die and go to hell. These preachers that preach this, you know, oh, they're in a better place, they're liars. They're liars. How many funerals have you heard that they said that they're in a better place? And you know they weren't saved. They had no connection with the church. They were very ungodly. They're in a better place. They're liars. They're not telling the truth. Somebody needs to tell them the truth. Can we say for sure that person went to hell? No, we don't know their heart. But we better tell them that if they didn't trust in Jesus as their personal Savior, that's where they're at. Those funerals that I preach, I get some amens and I get some cold looks. But you got to tell them. We've got to tell them because this time is coming. So you see, even if you go to the grave now, you're going to go to the place of torment, awaiting the final, standing before God, the final judgment to be cast to the lake of fire. That's better. Here's what's going to happen upon this earth. He raises the trumpet. He blows the trumpet. And immediately, hail, big chunks of ice come flying out of the sky. Not only that, but here comes this fire. And the scripture's very clear. It's hail. It's not like hail. It is hail. We know that what that is. Well, it's going to be the largest, biggest hailstone you've ever seen. It's not going to be just one. It's going to be multitudes of them as they come upon this earth. Fire is going to be coming flying from the sky. And not only that, but it's going to be mingled with blood. Now, this is hard to understand because when it says mingled with blood, it's not like blood. It is blood. It is blood. That's what's going to happen the first time the trump sounds, the first trump as it's blown. The result of that is it's cast to this earth. A third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. All this is going to take place. This is the result. Turn back with me to Exodus chapter 9. Does God change? No. Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9, verse 18 through 25. Several verses, but we just need to enjoy reading them all, so please listen. Exodus chapter 9, beginning to read with verse 18. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. And he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. He that regardeth not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand towards heaven, and there may be hail in all the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Moses stretched forth his rod towards heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in the land in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. The hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree in the field. And I'm going to read this 26th verse because here's where God's hand of protection. Only the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. There was no hail. Can you imagine what that would have been like in Egypt as God poured out his judgment upon them because they rejected and they refused to let the nation of Israel go? Well, God is the same God. God is no less powerful. You know, you and I, the older we get, the less strength we have. The older we get, the less our mind works the way it should. The older we get, you know, they say, you know, that time moves faster It doesn't. It just takes us longer to do what we used to do. And we could do it in a much shorter period of time. That is, if we remembered to do it. Our God's not that way. Our God's mind, our God's power is as strong today as it was before the world began. Because God is forever. God is forever. His word is just as true and just as strong. And so we found this back in the book of Exodus, and we're going to go back there in another trump as it sounds too. But right there, I want you to think about what is going on in the land of Egypt, what is going to happen during the tribulation period. We have these blazes of fire. We have these streams of blood that follows it down, and we have these great hailstones that are coming out of the sky. And it's brutal, it's deadly. Some of Pharaoh's men back in Egypt listened. They feared God. They went out and they got their men and their animals and they brought them into the farmstead, into the house. They were saved. But those that did not believe were killed. All the trees, all the grass, what wasn't destroyed by a hailstorm was destroyed by the fire. What wasn't destroyed by the fire is covered by blood. I don't know if you've been around blood, but blood is something that stinks. We've butchered for years. And when you bleed that animal and when you finish it, it's, you know, and I've worked with livestock all my life. That blood is something that adheres to your hands. It's sticky. And I believe these people will immediately be washing their hands and trying to scrub this off, and just more will come and more will come as judgment comes upon this land. They will be falling down upon the earth, screaming for their lives. There'll be no Savior. They'll be beaten down to the earth, and as one block of ice hits them, as the hailstones hit them, as the fire hits them in their fire, as they're blood covered with blood, they'll be screaming for their life, and there'll be no hope. None. There'll be no 911. There'll be no ambulance come to their rescue. There'll be no one to come to save them. No one. No one. If you try to hide yourself from that day, there is no hiding place when God's wrath comes. Can you imagine the weatherman's report that day? He won't be able to explain what the jet stream's doing. He won't be able to explain what is happening to this earth. They won't be able to explain it, because it'll be so evident that it's a judgment of God. You know, you and I can tell people that this is going to come. We can tell people to go to the Word of God and read it out of the Word of God. And they may not believe it. They won't be convinced. But I guarantee you that God Almighty will convince them. That day they will be convinced that there is a God and who He is. It's going to be too late. Anyone that takes the number of 666 cannot turn back. Cannot turn back. Let's see about the second angel. The second trump. He brings himself into position and he blows the trumpet. And the second angel sounded, verse 8. And as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures that were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. Second angel sounded. Again, the first was hail, fire mingled with blood. That's literal. Here it says, as it were a great mountain. As it were a great mountain. It's not a literal mountain. It's as it were a great mountain. Some believe it's a monstrous meteorite. It just looks like a mountain. And all of a sudden, when it comes, it comes and it plunges into the sea. And if you'll notice there that the word sea is not into the seas, it's into the word sea. And so it's believed that this is a judgment that, yes, will be worldwide, but it'll really concentrate upon the Mediterranean Sea. Because you see, everything is coming out of Jerusalem. All of it's coming out of Jerusalem. So, we have this look, this picture of this mountain, looks like a mountain, this gigantic meteorite as it plunges to earth. And immediately, what happens to the waters? A third part of the sea became blood. A third part of the creatures which were in the sea died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. How were they destroyed? Were they hit by the many meteorites that came flying to earth? Were they so large that there was a big tidal wave that just upset them and destroyed the ships? We've seen tidal waves. We've seen them come and crush houses and crush ships and come up many miles into land because of the height of them. And can you imagine when something like this that's foreign to this earth comes from heaven, comes down and plunges into the sea, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You believe it? Does it say it's going to be like blood? The sea is going to turn into something like blood? No, it's going to be blood. It's going to be blood. Why is God using so many times in His Word blood? It's because His precious blood saves, and you've rejected that. You've rejected that. Many people reject the thought of Jesus' blood having anything to do with salvation. He will remind those people over and over again. He is going to give them so much blood, they're going to be sick of blood. And none of this blood is going to save. The only blood that's going to save is the blood of Jesus. And it's too late. It's too late. That's the second trump. A third of the creatures in the sea dies. A third of the sea turns to blood. And a third of the ships are destroyed. A third of the ships are destroyed. Please turn back with me once again to Exodus. Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7, we're going to read from verse 19 through verse 21. Exodus chapter 7, verse 19. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, take thy rod, stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants, and all the waters were in the rivers were turned to blood. The fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. There was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. It was not just the rivers, it was not just one sea, it was every vessel. You look, you know, if it would happen today, you'd look in your refrigerator and the water in your refrigerator would be blood. You turn the tap on and the water would be blood. You go to the stream out back, the water would be blood. You go to the river, the water would be blood. That's what happened in Egypt. Is God any less powerful today? No. He will bring judgment upon this earth. why is these judgments coming upon mankind? It's because God's grace has given them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to be born again. They have rejected Him. They have turned to other gods, and it's time for judgment. Don't let anybody tell you God is not a God of love. God has been so gracious and so patient for so many years, waiting for people to repent, and they have rejected Him. So when someone tells you the God I know doesn't do this, you just tell them, then that's just not the same God that I know. Because a God that loved Him, that sent His only begotten Son, is also a very just God. And He will hold everyone to every sin they've committed if it's not covered by the blood of Jesus. Judgment will come. Judgment will come. A third part of the creatures in the sea died. A third part of the ships were destroyed. All because probably a tidal wave come across. I'm going just to read the next two, and we'll begin with the 10th verse next time. Please follow along with me. The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. The name of that star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. A third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to be sounded." We only got through two of the trumpets today. We'll continue through this study as we continue the study of Revelation. Understand, my friend, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Anybody you know is not saved. They can be the most religious people you ever met, but if they rejected Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they will face this time if death doesn't get them first. If death gets them first, they're in a worse place than this is going to be, if that can be imagined. We need to be proclaiming the truth. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank You today that we can come and proclaim Your word. You have given us from the first verse of Genesis to the end of Revelation. It is complete. It has everything that we need. Everything that we need for life. Everything we need to prepare for the next life. Please, that we stand on it. We know it. We believe it. We've trusted in You as our Savior. And we have a voice, and we're speaking it. We're telling people. Please, dear Lord, please, open those pathways, open those doors, we can begin to talk to the people that we're around. Please, let it be their fault if they don't trust in You, not be ours because we didn't speak it. Speak to our hearts now, dear Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.